My guest Ridley Scott has two films in theaters now, American Gangster and the new 25th anniversary edition of his science fiction film Blade Runner. Blade Runner was a box office flop in 1982, yet it inspired a futuristic look that was copied in everything from hotels to rock videos. Based on a story by Philip K. Dick, Blade Runner is about androids called replicants who look just like humans, were designed as slave labor to colonize other planets, and have a 4-year lifespan. They're illegal on Earth. Blade Runners, like the one played by Harrison Ford, have the job of hunting down and executing escaped replicants found on Earth. Harrison Ford's character, Deckard, falls in love with a replicant, played by Sean Young. Before the film was released, Ridley Scott made some changes based on test screenings and firm studio advice. He added a hard-boiled Harrison Ford voiceover. The romantic ending, when Harrison Ford and Sean Young go off together, sounded like this.
Gaff had been there and let her live. 4 years, he figured. He was wrong. Tyrell had told me Rachel was special. No termination date. I didn't know how long we'd have together. Who does?
For the 10th anniversary director's cut of the film, Ridley Scott removed the tacked-on ending. No voiceover, no romantic music. What you hear as Harrison Ford and Sean Young leave together is the cynical voice of a fellow Blade Runner reverberating in Ford's head. That's also the ending on the new digital Final Cut, which is in theaters and on DVD.
It's too bad she won't live. But then again, who does?
Ridley Scott, welcome back to Fresh Air. Let's start by talking about the new edition of Blade Runner in theaters and on DVD. The film was made 25 years ago. The future in that film is set in 2019. 2019 is only 11 years away. So we're 25 years away from the date the film was made, but only 11 years away from this distant future that the film projected. So in that context, does your whole sense of the future change when you think of 2019 now?
I thought the reason how it evolved and when I first made Blade Runner was I was traveling a lot in the Far East and Hong Kong particularly. I thought it was very fascinating. That was a time when there was before skyscrapers in Hong Kong and lots of those beautiful junks in the harbour. And I was also spending a lot of time in New York, which always seemed to be perpetually on overload. Both places sank in, and I thought the film should take on, be an evolution of those two places and where they might be going in 2019. Notwithstanding, New York is now a very beautiful place, very clean, and for I think it seems to be pretty well run. So it really isn't taking the place of Blade Runner 2019. Everything's much cleaner than I expected. Hong Kong now is a beautiful city with fantastic skyscraper skyline, so I think I better move the date back a little bit.
You've changed the ending from the original. The original ending is kind of optimistic. Harrison Ford and Rachel the replicant, played by Sean Young, begin a life together. And it looks like they're going to get away from this dystopian world into a better one. Mm-hmm. In the new version, they go off together too. But in the new version, I wasn't sure or not, but it seems like Harrison Ford might be a replicant himself.
That's true.
A lot of clues about that. So can we say that he is or is not one?
He is definitely a replicant.
He's definitely a replicant. did you intend that all along? Did you
always
intend first time around for us to walk away thinking, he was a replicant too?
Yeah, always. That sequence where he actually walks out having taken her out of his apartment and she's now standing in the elevator, and he stops because his foot touches something, and actually it's a origami, origami meaning little objects that people fold up and make little creatures and birds and things. And this origami, he holds it up, and it's a unicorn. And if you watch Harrison very closely, he actually, in his uniquely wry way, he wryly nods as if he's just had the truth confirmed, and then walks into the elevator, the doors close, and that's the end of the movie. That's a real film noir, right? And that's what the film was always designed to be.
The world as you've created it in Blade Runner, it's raining all the time. It's kind of dirty. Everything is basically gray. Mm-hmm. People don't talk the same language, and like the Harrison Ford character is often surrounded by a language that I'm not sure he understands. And the food,
city screen.
The food is really disgusting, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. often eaten in an outdoor counter with an awning, so that you're kind of nearly eating out in the rain. Can you talk a little bit about, I never read the Philip K. Dick story that this is based on, so I don't know whether mm-hmm. you're following his vision mm-hmm. of what a city might be like in the future, and how much of this comes from your imagination.
Well, I think Philip got angry with me because I'd said I couldn't get through the book because it was so dense. And I hope I fixed that before he died by showing him the first 10 minutes of the movie, which were preparing, slotting in the special effects. So I'd brought Philip Dick down to EEG in Santa Monica to say, listen, I know you're upset, and I tried to make it up to him. Look at this. This is what I've been doing. And he was absolutely stunned, I think. He said, but you've read Men in a High Castle. I said, no, I haven't. And he said, my God, this is what this Terrell character is. No, basically, there's a lot of imagination involved in that, and endless discussion with the production designers, but you know, particularly Sid Mead, because I can draw, so I can scribble and draw quite well, actually. And so you're able to have a lot of discussions on a pad with Sid Mead speculating, saying, and he's a designer who speculates from social order and social disorder. So every design is actually designed for a reason of social conditions. So that's, which is always the best designers. And so I was fascinated by all of that. So what we were doing is evolving the world while I was writing with Hampton.
I can't believe you didn't read the Philip K. Dick story. No wonder he was insulted.
I tried, but there's 19 stories in the first 6 pages, you know? And I think what Hampton had done was distilled a story down to the hunter falls in love with his quarry. And you set that in a world where the quarry are replicants. And they're not called replicants in the Philip Dick book. I think they're called androids. And we didn't want to use the word android or humanoid or robot because we felt it needed to be more updated. And it, actually, the name replication or replicant came from a student of biology at, I think, Carmel, or, who was the daughter of David Webb Peoples, I think, who said, I said, we've got to find another name for this thing. And she came back and said, well, what about the word replicant or replication? So that's how that happened.
My guest is director Ridley Scott. His 25th anniversary final cut of Blade Runner is in theaters. A new Blade Runner DVD collection includes all the versions of the film, as well as extras about making it. Ridley Scott will talk about his film American Gangster after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Ridley Scott. His films include Blade Runner, Gladiator, and Black Hawk Down. He also directed American Gangster, which is currently in theaters, and is nominated for 3 Golden Globes. Denzel Washington stars as a drug kingpin in Harlem. Russell Crowe plays the detective trying to bring him down. Here's a scene after Crowe has succeeded in busting Washington. Crowe is talking with Washington in prison, and Washington asks him this question.
Let me ask you this. Do you really think that putting me behind bars is going to change anything on them streets? Them dope fiends are going to shoot it. They're going to steal from it. They're going to die for it. Putting me in or out ain't going to change one thing.
And that's the way it is.
That's just the way it is. So what we got, Richie? We got me and you sitting here.
I got possession, supply, conspiracy, bribing a law officer. I got people who attest to seeing you kill in cold blood. I got your offshore bank accounts, your real estate, your businesses, all bought with money from heroin. And I got hundreds of parents of dead kids. addicts who OD'd on your product, and that's my story for the jury. That's how I make it all stick. This man murdered thousands of people, and he did it from a penthouse driving a Lincoln. Aside from that, you got nothing to worry about.
That's pretty good, but that's why we go to court, isn't it, Richie? Because I got witnesses, too. I got celebrities. I got sports figures. I got Harlem, Richie. I took care of Harlem, so Harlem's going to take care of me. You can believe that.
Your film American Gangster has been nominated for several Golden Globes, including there's Best Motion Picture Drama, Best Director, and Denzel Washington, Best Actor in a Drama. Am I leaving any out?
No, that's it. That's good.
That's it. That's pretty good. Denzel Washington plays a drug kingpin in Harlem who manages to get a direct contact in, is it Vietnam or Thailand? For his supply.
Vietnam,
yeah. And he gets wealthier and wealthier and more powerful as the movie goes on. Russell Crowe plays the cop who's trying to take him down. And, you know, the cop in the story, he's very honest in his working life, but he never really played it straight with his wife, and she's suing for divorce. Whereas, you know, the gangster is very loyal to his family, even though he's totally illegal. And corrupt. So the contrast in these two characters, was there a similar contrast in the two actors and their approach to acting? We, you know, like Russell Crowe, you've worked with before in a couple of films, including Gladiator. How would you compare his approach to acting to Denzel Washington's? Did you work with them in different ways?
Yeah, I mean, similar in a way because, you know, when you've got a level of intelligence that actually, and therefore intelligence and stroke sensitivity that both men have. You know, somebody said that Denzel's a kind of method actor, but I often wonder what that means. I think it means that somebody absolutely does his homework inside out every which way on the character that he's about to portray, and in so doing is making selections and rejections of what to do and what not to do. And, you know, Russell's the same thing. So if that's what method is, then they both live it. They live it. So in that sense, they're very similar. Russell's a obsessive researcher about everything he's doing, so he knows everything that he's about to play, as does Denzel. So there's a similarity to them both. So you got to be at your best when you meet with them and deal with them, because they'll ask questions all the time that you've got to be sure that you have the answer.
Yeah, give me an example of a question you were asked that you needed to supply an answer to.
Well, how much did I know about Harlem? Had I done research? Had I met Frank Lucas yet? Because you have to, and this is all within a couple of weeks of me coming on board. Unfortunately, I was able to say, well, actually, I was in Harlem in 19. Here to tell you this, pal, I was in Harlem in 1961. I used to go around and do a lot of photographs at that particular moment. And
you did a lot of what? And
photographs.
Oh, photographs.
I was going to be a still photographer, so I did a lot of stills of Harlem, Coney Island, you know, the Bowery. All of these places were war zones in those days. And I think when you got a camera and you're a photographer, you don't even think about any danger. So I always remembered it. And so as I was reading Steve's script, I could literally smell it, you know, the whole environment. It was kind of pretty easy to take on board and get into it. So
what was most difficult in changing when you were shooting on location in Harlem? Most difficult to bring back to a 1960s look? The film is set between, what, like 68 and 73?
Finding the war zone. It's all cleaning up. All those brownstones have become $5 million townhouses. I mean, since the last two mayors, you know, Bloomberg and Giuliani, they've really cleaned it up. I mean, the right through past Columbia University, right through Harlem, Manhattan's never looked so good, right? So it was really trying to be allowed to, you know, waste the streets as I remember it. And they were really helpful. It was tremendous. Much easier than I expected it to be. I thought it was going to be much tougher. It was going to be really hard to shoot in Harlem. We shot in 180 locations with 130 speaking parts. That is a lot. But it was it's almost like shooting a documentary, actually.
Ridley Scott, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Ridley Scott's film American Gangster is nominated for 3 Golden Globes. The 25th anniversary edition of Scott's film Blade Runner is on DVD and in theaters.